As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Fans, there's going to be food trucks. It's just going to be fun. It's like, get ready, go. I enjoy being there because there's, especially young people, they love to see what that airport looks like. So I am so grateful to the people that's leading the way for this. And, you know, we have a great airport, and not everyone even is aware of it being there or what a difference it makes to Monroe County. Because it, you know, like you said, move-in week, well, they couldn't do it. You saw all the planes lined up, some of the people coming in because it was move-in week. People just don't understand how much that airport is really used, but even more than that, it's used for commercial purposes. So without that airport, do you think we would have these big companies like Catalent? Would we have been able to hold on to Cook and so forth? These people want to make sure that they have a way to get their clients in and out, and for their, you know, their people to get in and out, but also having to do with Crane and all those people involved with Crane. They rely on that airport, our airport, for their transportation needs as well. So they did meet with us last evening, and the entire team on the airport board was there in support of the airport director, because he's had some real problems trying to attract the people that he needs to work on his team because of the salary being offered, and is trying to make sure that offer an amount that will actually get people to apply, because you cannot run an airport such as we have now, not have really qualified people on the team.
Well, so, it sounds like he's in the same boat as everybody else.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And what makes the boat a little different is there's just not as many people available that have the kind of qualification it takes to run an airport. You may have several people out there who have the kind of qualification to do other jobs. Maybe you have, maybe you need a law degree to do some of these jobs, but not everybody has that kind of degree it takes to run an airport. So we're just hoping that people will be able to work that out, and also that for the people who are helping pay the way for that airport, that they will be able to go out and enjoy that airport, because it is a county-ran facility. It's not a city-ran facility. Like, I think probably in some cities, the airport would be the city, but here it's the county. So that was discussed. Last night, we also discussed, clear at the end of a very lengthy meeting, the elected official salaries. You and I discussed that just a bit at the end of our conversation. Was that like 2 weeks ago? And you want to know, is it going to come up every year? And then we started going over the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, the numbers were presented to us last night as just a conversation starter that President Wilkes put together, and Councilmember Munson worked on it as well. And these are just suggestions, but the suggestion is that the commissioners would make 90% of the elected official salaries, the assessor, the auditor, the clerk, the recorder, so forth, so that it would be 90% of $70,500. That's the base pay for the offices other than, you know, the surveyor and the coroner. We have some that's not paid as much. But so that was presented, although Council Member McKim still indicated he would like to see it 100% of the amount the other elected officials made, but that would put them up then to that base of if it was 90% of $63,450. So right now the 22 salary, now they have this entered at $48,886 for the base for 22 salary.
Gotcha.
So that's a little bit of a raise.
Yeah, and not as much as they wanted either. So that's
they may very well get more.
That's the other side of the coin.
The majority really comes out to say. But what they did say was they wanted to see the $70,500. In addition to that, they were talking about supplementals for the auditor's office, the clerk's office, of $5,000. The assessor does receive more because this state law says once they hit different levels of education, their certification levels, they have to have in order to hold this office, and then they receive more money as they receive those different levels. They don't have that for the auditor or the clerk, which I wish that they did. I wish that all of these elected officials had to get a certain amount of education for it.
Absolutely. You want them to be experts, and if you want them to be experts, then we'll pay you more. It's not hard to figure out.
Right. Well, at any rate, so I did contact State Board of Accounts, so I wanted to make sure that if we really wanted the auditor to make $75,500, that we just get that salary base set at $75,500. Or if we're trying to pay a supplemental, we have to say exactly what the additional duties are that she's doing that she has not done, that's going to be over and above. And so I'm not sure that had been worked out, so we'll find out. We just want to make sure that if indeed the idea is to make that pay for the auditor $75,500, then that's what the salary should say. So we're still working on it. When I say we are, I guess I'll find out what everyone wants to do with it. One of the things I saw is because the theory here is to take the base salary of the other elected officials and then take a percent of that for the commissioners and also a percent of that for the council and get this done so that it's always going to be on the same kind of level so you don't have to be readjusting on these larger amounts every year. But that raises the council salary up to $21,150, which is, well, you know, of course, I love making money. Who doesn't? But that's still a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's not $65,000 or $64,000. Why don't you guys get paid $64,000? You work just as hard as they do, don't you?
Well, I guess that is up to debate. Right. Oh, come on. Don't make me brag on myself, or I might have to.
Well, nobody else will. They don't put you on any committees or anything, so you have to brag on yourself. You're the lone gun. You're the one-woman army. It's Marty Hawk, county councilwoman, the only Republican in town. She joins us every Wednesday to update the county council's business. Remember, the county council, their job is to handle the money. That's what they do, and that's what we talk a lot about money on this program. People say, well, you know, you're not discussing this or discussing that. Well, that's not their purview. So that's why we don't discuss it, because, of course, Marty has her opinion on it, but that's not her area of expertise. Her area of expertise is finance, right, Marty? It's finance.
It sure is. But it also, you know, when you're looking at finance, we discussed the other day about purchasing that ground near Fullerton Pike for purposes for the jail, remember? And I had indicated then the price of the property, but that we were still waiting on the other appraisal. Well, last evening we were supposed to do the final sign-off on that, the county council. So I start reading through the contract, and I'm going, oh, wait a minute, because it's very clear the contract is, and I don't have it open now, so it's not verbatim, but it was stipulating that the price would be the amount of this one appraisal we have, or, you know, once we get the other one, it could be the average of the two. Well, that could be more than the amount that we've been told.
Absolutely.
And so my concern was it didn't stipulate any not to exceed amount. It's not just this amount or that amount. It's we should have something that says but no more than X, or that it will come back to be voted on again or something of the sort, because I don't see how we just sign off on something and not really know what the price is.
The question I would have is, are two appraisals usually that far apart, Marty, or is it just how does that you know, I just think of Judy Sharp and the fair market this and all those things she told me about it. Can an appraisal be really that much off?
Yes.
Okay. I know that's your area.
Yes,
Marty Hawk is also a real estate expert as well, so let's make sure we get that in there. So tell me how that can happen.
Well, because when you're looking at property to be developed, you don't know who all the buyers might be and whether or not you're going to be looking at the buyer's market. If the buyer is out there looking for something to put some, maybe some big commercial thing there, and maybe there's more than one group that might want to buy this. We don't know what that appraisal might end up looking like. If it's a buyer's market, then it's going to not be as high. If it's a seller's market, then they're going to be able to get whatever price they need, and they have a lot of buyers that want it. You see, it's all market-driven, and we don't know what else might be out there. So when you're signing off on something, when you are responsible for the public dollar, you really need to know at least zero in on no more than X dollars. And so they did contact, I didn't even bring this up until, you know, yesterday afternoon. I said, look, this is concerning. And they contacted the seller. I think that this is all going to be, it's not going to slow it down, I don't think. They're just going to get this worked out, and then we'll all take a new look at it. The other thing I saw in it was saying that it was subject to getting the zoning approved for a jail. Well, that's fine, except this is 80-some acres, and I think that there are those who want to do things in addition to just the jail. So will that, should that sentence be read a little differently? Because
I think so.
If we want the 80 acres and we only want it if we can do the jail and XYZ, whatever XYZ is, it's up to others, then let's find out whether we can do that. Otherwise, you've bought this property that you can't really do all that you want to do. I think all of these things can be worked out. It's just that I'm just looking at all the small print and I'm going, well, this needs to be, you know, just add in a couple words there and let's get
yes.
this fixed. And I think it will. I think we've got a very responsible group of people working on this, and we'll get all of that worked out. But it is a part, and like I said, we do look at the fiscal issues, but then you have to look at the contracts that could affect the fiscal issues. So there you go.
Well, that's you don't want to sign that, then figure out, oops, we shouldn't have signed it, I think is the larger point.
Right. You just got to know, like, if, for instance, when we pass the food and beverage tax, getting us back to food and beverage tax and the Commission of Visitors Bureau and et cetera, one of my questions was, well, what happens to all these dollars? You might have asked me this at our last gathering. What happens to all that money sitting there? You know,
yes.
If this all
if it's not
apart.
Used, what happens to it? Right.
Right. And we don't. I'm sure somebody's walking around with that answer in their head, but I don't know what it is. We might have even discussed it at some time, you know, years back, but I don't recall. I mean, I know what the legislation says that it can be used for, but it doesn't say if this doesn't move forward, what happens. I would, you know. So I think that's a legal question that somebody needs to be coming up with. I will say that the county commissioners evidently have invited people involved with wanting to move forward with the convention center to attend their work session on the 31st. Have you already been notified of that?
Mary Catherine Carmichael joined the program yesterday and let us know that that was going to take place, and the commissioners have given a 30-minute window on Wednesday, August 31st, 1 week from today at 10 a.m.
Well, and that's not a lot of time.
No.
You know, we spent over 20 minutes last evening listening to a report from the Friends of Lake Monroe. So, you know, 30 minutes is not a lot of time for all the people who are going to want to weigh in on the convention center. And I'm wondering if the reason that they have it scheduled for the 31st, you know, I told you that they have ordered appraisals.
Correct.
To be done of all that property. So I'm wondering if they just assume that those appraisals will be ready for review by the 31st for presentation. I don't know. I'm just saying that it sort of sounds like that might be.
You're right, though, Marty. 30 minutes doesn't sound like that's progressively getting us where we need to be. I wish there, as you can go back and anybody can go back and listen to Mary Catherine Carmichael's interview from yesterday. She said anytime, any place, anywhere. She's now the chief negotiator from the city side, and just wants time and space and everything to get this moving forward. So it'll be interesting to hear what we learn, and that's why our conversation with you next Wednesday. They're all important. That'll be a very important one as well. To see what comes out of that meeting.
Right, because, I mean, they did not meet this week at all. So I know that they would not have been able to do anything further about the appraisals in public this week because they didn't have a meeting this week. I'm hoping that those appraisals were given the final go-ahead to do it, because there was questions about, you know, which properties or whatever, whether or not they were all going to be done jointly or whatever.
Right.
But I'm hoping those were ordered and that we'll have some more definitive answers at least no later than that Wednesday meeting and Wednesday gathering. And I'll be sure to do my best to listen in on that.
Right.
They did, last night, there was an appointment made for the Commission, Visitors Commission. Remember, that's the commission that oversees the innkeeper's tax. And then, of course, they have to present all this to the county council because they cannot spend any money unless the county council has made an appropriation for the innkeeper's tax money.
Exactly.
But they had a resignation from somebody who's had served there, I think it was for 11 years, Sean Hanlon, and he's now gone over to the Memorial Union, and so they had a new appointment, and the person's name is Kirk Brown, and so he'll be finishing out that two-year term because the county council has three appointments to that. There's five total members of the Convention and Visitors Commission, and the County Council has three of those appointments. And so this was the appointment that would be for either an owner or general manager of at least a 40-bed unit for the hotel.
Sure,
now,
yeah.
I've never met this person. I wish that this person lived in Monroe County because this is important decisions to be made for Monroe County. But as not to be so surprising, we have a lot of people who are moving to Owen County, to Brown County, to Lawrence County, and other places where there's homes being built that the commissioners have seen fit, that we're not really able to grow some of these houses out in the county as many people have wanted. And so this particular person who will be serving lives in Owen County. So can't do much about that. I'm grateful that the person's willing to serve. But anyway.
Well, it is interesting, but it's one angle. It's not the entire.
Oh no, it's just something that
yes.
to be said that you know, we have people who are very interested in local tourism, and just you would think there'd be somebody. That's just me. I like to see the people that we hire to work for Monroe County. I would like to see them live here in Monroe County.
Yeah, I don't know if that always happens either.
Oh, it sure doesn't.
Sure.
And I would like to see people who are serving on boards and commissions all live in Monroe County. In this particular instance, the law does not say, now sometimes it does, but not in this particular one, does it say that they have to be a resident of Monroe County. It just has to be that the hotel has to be in this county.
Gotcha. So, well, that's still a huge, that's a big part of what they do anyhow. So I see where you're coming from, yes.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just a very small part of it because, of course, the person's interest is going to be what they spend their life doing is making, you know, trying to increase tourism. So that's what we really need there anyway. And anyway, then we also had discussed more money for the highway department.
Yep.
And one of the things that, you know, we were talking about trying to find money for the additional money for highway pavement, and there was some back and forth about how we could do that and what state board of accounts said and so forth. Now we know that some of the other counties were doing it with their edit tax, their economic development tax, which we don't have ours really in place so that we can start using it yet. But whether or not we could move forward with it and put it under that form or exactly, but I am told by the highway director that she believes it's been worked out. So that is good news. One thing we've been told from the state level that because of what's happened with the price of gas and so forth, that our revenue that will be coming in that comes from gas tax will not, it could be affected. It could be affected because of the high price of gas. However, it's also thought that our the money coming in from the sales tax from gasoline, that comes in, that's separate for the community crossing grants. So that sales tax would probably bring in more money for the community crossing grant. So, but now we would have to have matching dollars for that. So we have to be prepared that while we may see a reduction in our revenue from the gas tax, we ought to see an increase having to do with the sales tax. So just things that you look at when you're looking at how are we going to get the money to
well,
do the bridges and the roads.
Well, that's what you do. You follow the money for us, and then we follow what you're telling us, and that's why every Wednesday is important. And next Wednesday will be very important as well. I believe Cheryl Munson is the county council representative in next Wednesday morning's discussion. Mary Catherine Carmichael from the city. There's a couple others that will be there as well. Well, that's going to make
Eric Spoonmore.
Eric Spoonmore, absolutely.
I talked to Cheryl Munson just this afternoon, and she was on her way back from Indianapolis. Well, they've been to Hamilton County to look at the Hamilton County Jail and to see. You know, there's people very interested to see what our jail might look like, and so they were there checking that out. So
all the pieces of that, yeah, the carousel spins and spins and spins, and that's why we love having you on with us every Wednesday. Get down to Eltsville Food Truck Wednesday tonight. It's perfect out. Enjoy it.
Gorgeous.
And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Marty. We appreciate it. Marty Hawk, she is the county councilwoman who joins us every Wednesday to keep us in the loop of what's happening in county government. And you get it all here every Wednesday. City, Mayor Hamilton on Tuesdays, Deputy Mayor Don Griffin Jr. on Thursdays. So we try to get you covered up most of the week. David Hayes will have you covered up on what's happening on Wall Street. We'll do that after a quick timeout and Diane Daly's news headlines. 434 WGCL.